Heavenly Father, we pray, God, with heavy hearts for some. God, we pray, God, with hurting hearts for many. And we just come with just a hungry heart, God, to receive from you, God, to see you as you are, God, to see of your beauty, God, to be one, God, in spirit with you, God, to follow you in all that you ask, God, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, God, to live a life that is supernatural, God, and marvelous and blessed. So move through your words, God, do surgery, God, do feed us, God, in ways that only you can do. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. It's our final sermon in this series. It's our ninth sermon in the series, I would say. It's a little over a month, I would say. Maybe 2 months. I'm going to talk about the initiation and the continuation. So really another way of saying it is initially receiving of the Holy Spirit and the hosting and the continuation, if you will, of being filled with the Spirit. Now, as I talk about this, I hope that you can see yourselves in this spectrum of where you're at in encountering the Holy Spirit, because to encounter Jesus, because that's the job of the Holy Spirit, to be in love with Jesus, you need the Holy Spirit, because that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Because if we do not feel like I'm in love with Jesus, I'm not talking about, it's a, you know, for those who are married and who've dated, you know the difference between being in love, because you do crazy stuff. You'll do anything sometimes. Now, some of you are more reasonable daters, right? Oh, I don't know if I can do that with you. You know, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who've been in love. You watch the movies and you see, just come on in, everybody. All right, I'm just going to pause and let everybody come in. All right. I don't know. They wanted to go to the gym and now they're clearly sad. You know, because I got to sit through this. All right. I love this. All right. For all those who are new, we're going to talk about how to receive the Holy Spirit and how to continue receiving the Holy Spirit. All right. This is really, really important. I would say this is so key and critical. This is, I would say, one of those watershed sermons. And you're gonna be at a decision point, if you will. You're gonna see. And you're gonna see, I hopefully, because I've been praying that you see yourself in this spectrum of where you're at in encountering the Holy Spirit, because to be in love with Jesus, this is absolutely critical. This is critical. Because if you're not in love with Jesus, I'm talking about if you've ever had a crush, if you've ever, you know, some of you, it's been too long. Okay, people in the front row, they know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Like, they know what it's like to have a crush, what it's like, you can't stop thinking about them, right? And hopefully it's not for one of each other. But anyway, that said, being in love makes everything better. If you're not in love with Jesus, it's just a religion. It is. A lot of people are going to say, hey, Jesus, I did this for you. I did that for you. Basically, I was very religious for you. But Jesus is like, I don't even know you. Like, I never knew you. Away from me. That's kind of harsh. We look at that and go, well, that's harsh. You know? People, like, they were doing stuff for Jesus. And Jesus is like, well, you know, you really never had a relationship. We all talk about, oh, Christianity is not a religion, it's a personal relationship. It's true. But people don't have one. People don't talk to Jesus. People don't like talking to Jesus, actually. They don't even know what to say. And this is key and critical. So this, believe it or not, this was on the minds of the apostles. This is exactly what the Bible is trying to get at. It's trying to tell us. This is important. Jesus talked about it all the time. And you read it. And I hope your life is impacted by this. I hope you're changed by this. I hope you're thinking like this. And I hope you're thinking like this for your children and your loved ones. And I hope you're pleading. And I hope you see yourself. Where are you with the Holy Spirit right now? Okay. The same way. Jesus says this, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father, who's the Holy Spirit, upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. This is all about power. Okay? Now we talk about, right? The Greek word for power is actually the word we use for dynamite. Right? So Jesus was like, I just said a whole bunch of commandments to you. And it's going to sound like do's and don'ts. It's going to sound a lot of like, you got to do this and you got to do that. Now, because if for your life to be really, really happy, you need power. Because to do what Jesus is telling you to do, to love people, to forgive people, not to envy people, you know what I mean? Not to, you know, the darkness, we're in the world. And you're going to encounter all kinds of pain. But to do the stuff that Jesus wants you to do, to really love each other, and you don't have power, oh, you're going to, you know how you don't have power? Self-pity. I would say that's probably one of the key and top things. There's a lot of self-pity going on. Right? You know what else is there? Grumbling. A lot of grumbling. Now, look, when I say this, I don't want you to hear condemnation. Because they're warning lights. That's all it is. They're warning lights to tell you, it's like, oh, like, I need to be filled with the Spirit. That's what it is. They're just warning lights. They're not condemning things. Envy? That's not, like, the works of the, like, they're all indicators. Man, I need the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, I need to be in love with Jesus. Because if you continue your ways, you probably notice, parents, you're probably snapping at your children. Because what happens when you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and continue, you know what happens? You become like bitter, actually. You get angry, you get like self-pity, you get down on yourself. You know, and then eventually that leads to depression and then despair. And not a lot of good things happen, you know? The reason I'm saying this, because that's where I live. That's the neighborhood I live. I don't know where you live. Maybe you're like happy, happy, happy. I don't, you know. And the reason why this is so hard nowadays, we'll talk about it. Acts 1:8. Again, this is what Jesus is saying. But you will receive power. Why is Jesus constantly talking about power? Because for Jesus, he knows he's sending his disciples into the world and is telling them, like, to stand out for Jesus, get persecuted, and then while you're getting persecuted, probably your family members, maybe even you might get killed, but continue to love each other. And, like, you know, I mean, like, be generous. Jesus tells poor people to really be generous with each other. That's like pretty hard. Because, you know, poor people, they envy rich people. You know what I mean? They're saying, no, you just got to be generous. And it's like, wow, like, why don't you tell rich people to be generous and then we don't have to be poor? Well, the thing is, he tells rich people, it's really hard for you. I don't even know if you can become a Christian. Sell everything you got and then follow me kind of stuff. You know what I mean? But we're like the rich people now. Nobody likes to admit they're rich. You know, we're all rich, kind of. Some of you more rich than others. You don't know you're rich until you go to a third world country. Then you're like, oh my gosh, maybe I didn't know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you with power, the power to forgive people, the power to crucify the flesh, the power not to envy, the power, right? Power to die to yourself so you don't feel sorry for yourself all the time. Power to love people who are not very loving. It all requires power. If you try to love people, the reason I'm saying a lot of, you're like, why is he talking about loving people? Because many of you are in growth group. Many of you are in home group. Many of you, like, because we're like a pretty close church. And there's a good chance that you probably are bitter at other people. I'm not lying to you. You probably are. But here, and it's like, well, where do I, power. I promise you this. When the power comes on you, you'll love them again. I know. It's crazy. They don't have to change, actually. They don't even have to come and apologize and admit that they're wrong. You'll receive power. Now, God will work on them. God will deal with them. But the point is, He will free you to love them. Acts 2:1, it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together. Now, you're going to see this theme. Like, this is not one of those like lone ventures. Like, if you're like an independent Christian, like, one thing about the Christian faith, right? This is like anti-Frank Sinatra. You're not going to do it your way. Right? You're not going to do it your way. You're going to do it His way. And His way is together. Now, is it easier if it's your way? Probably. Just like, you know, if you're a mom and you had your kids help you in the kitchen, is it easier to make that stuff with the kids helping? Absolutely not. No, it's not. It's not easier doing it together. Why is just Jesus like, oh, you guys get, you know, it's like, we don't think about this, but they were all together. Now, if you think about being all together, because I don't know how long they were there all together, but they were probably getting on each other's nerves. They were. You don't think about that, right? Oh, they were all together. They were like singing Kumbaya. Like the Holy Spirit hadn't arrived, okay? If you can imagine, right? Hey, I was going to eat that. Well, you took too much, you know? Because they were sharing stuff. They had everything in common. And you got that pig face over there, you know, who's like grabbing up all the food, you know? They were all together in one place. I can't imagine. You know, just like, you can just imagine, right? And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And then later in verse 4, it says, and they were filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Scripture wants you to know, like Jesus is like, don't do stuff right now. Like, just stop. Like, don't go out into the streets. I don't need you to be religious for me. I need you to go and do the work that you did it. You know, like in Revelation, you know how Jesus says, like, you lost your first love. Go and do the work that you did at first. This is the stuff. Go get filled. That's why we come to church, right? That's what worship is. Getting filled. You're not coming to a church to give stuff to God or to do Him a favor. You're coming as a recipient. As a recipient. We're not doing anybody favors. All right. Now, this is Paul. Well, let's read it and then we'll talk about it. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. This is now Paul coming to Ephesus for the first time. There he found some disciples and he said to them, the first thing he says, right? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Wow. This is like Paul's first question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? There was probably something about like who they were. You know what I mean? They were probably maybe a tinge bit too religious. You know what I'm saying? Without being very loving. You know, there was probably something going on there. They're like, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to be honest with you. Right now, when I pray for you, there's some of you, I'm like, God, fill them with the Holy Spirit. You know? I'm not going to name all you guys. All right, but it's like, oh, I don't know if you're that loving, you know? Now, that's a good thing, right? I'm praying for you to receive the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's like, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And you think, oh, how crazy is that, you know? It's like, some of you heard it, but you're still not filled with it, filled with Him. So it's not like it mattered. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. That is Jesus. Now, what they happened was they believed in Jesus and they said, okay, I'm going to give up stuff. I'm going to do stuff for Jesus. And Paul's like, ugh, it sounds like a lot of religious stuff. They were baptized into repentance. That means it's not like they weren't trying. They were trying. They're trying to be good Christians. Paul's like, oh man, I don't think you really got this. So here's what he does. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, scripture says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved. But we're not talking about like, oh, I said the magic word, Lord. No, like if Jesus becomes your Lord, you know what I'm saying? You know how you know that Jesus is Lord? You're doing the things that he's telling you to do. You're like, his priority is your priority. Right? And if you join the church, the priority of the church is your priority. I know. It grates against this independence, doesn't it? But these people, first of all, what Paul does, because baptism back in the old days, and it's still nowadays, is the ceremonial aspect of salvation. Because when you get baptized, you have to die to yourself. That means you've now renounced your old ways, right? You don't tell Jesus, I'm going to love you my way. Okay, you're going to love him the way he wants to be loved, his way. Now, if you've never done that, that's why I'm saying there's, you know, I want you to see this. If you've never said, God, I surrender my life to you, and I'm going to now love you, not my own way, but I'm going to, because not everybody that's probably here thinks they love Jesus. But I'm asking you, do you really love Jesus the way he wants you to love Jesus? If the answer is no, that you probably met, you know, there's a good chance you never made a commitment as Jesus as Lord. I know. And you probably are struggling with being in love with Jesus. Because here's the truth. You cannot be in love with Jesus if you've never made a commitment to Jesus. That's like, I cannot have a loving, in love relationship with my wife if I never made that commitment to her. It's called marriage. So, what does Paul do when Paul then rebaptizes them? Okay, why does Paul rebaptize? Well, like that's good enough, you know what I mean? No, because Paul's like, well, here's baptism, like Jesus becoming Lord, and then you see it in Romans, you know? You see that he's being baptized into Jesus' death. That means I'm joining Jesus, I'm dying to myself, and then I'm rising to this new life. What is a new life? Doing the stuff that he's telling me to do. Loving people. Now, we don't like to think about this because loving people the way Jesus wants us to love people requires a great deal of effort. And that's why Jesus said you got to receive the Holy Spirit. So, if you've never made a commitment to die to yourself, to die to, like, I'm going to do it my way. I'll go to church when I want to go to church. I'm not going to go to that prayer meeting at the beginning of the service because I don't see many of you. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, right? There's a conformity. I know you'd like to think of yourself as a nonconformist sometimes. You know, I did too. Trust me. I was a punker when I was in high school, right? I dressed different than, we're talking about Woodbridge, Virginia. When you dress the way I dressed in Woodbridge, Virginia, my parents were so ashamed of me. They let me know they were ashamed of me. All right? They didn't want to be seen with me. I had chains hanging around, hair flopping in my face, hair sticking up, right? Going slam dancing and stuff, listening to music out not to be listening to. But there's like, I'm going to do it my way. You know, it's like, no, you got to die. You got to die. But if you've never died, if you never said, Jesus, I'm going to join you in your death. I'm going to die to like everything that I'm all about because I'm going to really now, I want to be one with you. I'm going to be one with you. And then I'm going to rise to this new life, which means I'm going to follow Jesus. Everybody wants to be a follower of Jesus. They don't want to follow Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like you're a follower of Jesus. That means you do what he wants you to do. That's what that means. So Paul did baptism again. A lot of people are like, Henry, but I was baptized when I was a kid. It's like, well, I mean, did you commit your life to Jesus? Did you die to yourself? I mean, it's like, if you haven't, let's just get rebaptized. It's okay. People think, oh my gosh, that means that wasn't real. It's like, it's okay. It was okay with Paul. Okay. And then, after they're baptized, you know, they probably wiped themselves off, right? Maybe they didn't. I don't know. It doesn't say. But when Paul had laid his hands on them, so it was like another thing. I don't know why you have to lay on hands. You know, our church likes to lay on hands people. But Paul did it. And Jesus sometimes healed people. Sometimes he spit on the mud and made mud and put on people's eyes. I don't know why, you know, anointing people's heads with oil, right? Maybe they did that, you know, for Jeremy the other, and it was very effective. Jeremy said that was very helpful, actually. You know? The demons hate that stuff. If you ask me, is there anything special about, what kind of oil do you need to use? I was like, I don't think, you know, that's the issue here. But we're laying on hands, important. So if you made a commitment to Jesus, if you said, you know, I'm all in. Now, if you haven't, because what Jesus says, like, right, it's like a field, like this treasure that's hidden in that field, and you find it, and you're like, you'll sell everything you got, and you'll go and buy that field. If you never felt like Jesus was worth it, that's the problem, right? Is Jesus worth you, like, giving up your ways, giving up your, you know, morning routines, giving up whatever it is, like, I'm all in, Jesus, right? Question is, are you all in? But do you want to be in love with Jesus? Do you want to have this amazing relationship with Jesus? It requires a commitment. It does. Now, and then Paul laid his hands on them. I laid on hands, I tell you, I've laid my hands on a lot of people. I laid a lot of hands on people who were not committed to Jesus. And then you wonder, like, oh, okay, you know, like laying on hands. Paul was like, oh, why didn't Paul think of that? Why didn't he just lay on hands and skip the baptism? Because they were not committed. They didn't really see the, you know, the importance of it, like to commit your life to Jesus. Paul's like, let's not skip that. Let's not skip that. Going around laying on hands people that are not committed to Jesus, who have no plans to commit themselves to Jesus, it's not effective. Like, why didn't Jesus think of that? Why didn't Paul think of that? It's important. I can't get you to commit yourself to Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And I hope right now the Holy Spirit is moving to say, man, I want this amazing, like, I want to commit myself. Just like, you know, when you run track or you run cross country, like, you gotta wanna do it. Like, I think it's, I was telling my sister that I ran cross country when I was in high school, right? Because I think she was like one of her one of her daughters, my niece is like running cross country. And I said, yeah, I ran out. The first day of cross country, I mean, we came back from that first run. I was huffing and puffing. Right? I was trying to get ready for soccer tryouts, like in the spring. And I was just dying. And the coach goes, all right, hey, good. Okay. All right. Now that everybody's done with their warm up run, right? Everybody stretch. Then let's go now and then we're going to do 10 miles. You know what that, like, you know, like you're drowning, you're dry. And then somebody hands you a baby, right? That's what it felt like. That's what it felt like. Here's the thing. Many of us, okay, like we know where we're at. And that's the prayer. We're not skipping steps here. I hope the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, nobody's joining cross country unless... My sister was shocked that I actually finished the season. You know what it was? I just showed up. You know, I was that guy who was in the back all the time. Everybody's like waiting around for me. Shit, man, I'm like, what the... You know? And I'm walking. I mean, and then, you know, like 30 minutes after everybody came in, because they're like superstar, like cross country guys, right? And I've never done this stuff, and the shame of it. Now, most guys quit. I didn't quit. I didn't. I just showed up. And towards the end of the season, I got better. I even made friends. Like, you know, like when you're the worst, because in cross country, they don't cut people. It's not like there's a tryout, because there's so few people who want to run cross country. Everybody's on the team, right? They didn't cut me. But in the beginning, people were so ashamed of me, I think, or, you know, like, they're just like, oh, there's like, nobody's having. But towards the end of the season, I made some friends, you know, that there was some like respect. Oh, he shows up all the time. All right. Maybe we'll talk to him. Commitment. Nobody told me I got to do it. Something got inside of you and said, you know what? I want to do this thing. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. I want to commit myself to Jesus. I want to be in love with Jesus. I want to live my life with Jesus. I want to live in the light. I don't want to live in the darkness. And let's get baptized. Let's get baptized. When I say get baptized, what I'm saying is let's go through the ceremonial ritual. Okay, of committing yourself to die to yourself, right? To join Jesus in his death, and then this arise to this new life. And then let's pray for you. Let's pray. Now, if you don't receive the Holy Spirit, now sometimes, like in baptism, we saw it last baptism, you know? Yeah, I was Jesse was here. He couldn't even get through. You know, like I love that. I love it when the Holy Spirit comes on people, you know, they can't even finish a sentence. And that was a powerful presence of the Lord. People were being filled, right? Now, many of us experience that initiation into the Holy Spirit. If you've been initiated, okay, into the power, right? And you're like, I remember I was about to leave a church because somebody betrayed me and somebody, you know, like I was going to leave, right? But I said, God, you got to do something. You got to do something. And then God filled me with the Holy Spirit. Oh, I loved him. I went in and congratulated him. It was amazing. I was like, oh, this is what it's like. Power to forgive people. There's another situation. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Like, oh, they're Christians in Samaria. Then this is what it says. For he had not yet fallen, this is the Holy Spirit, on any one of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Where do we see that in baptized in the name of the Lord? Paul did that, didn't he? We see that. But they already been baptized. They were committed Christians. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had already joined him in his death, and yet they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And the apostles in Jerusalem are like, oh, this is urgent. Because they're going to go through living their Christian life thinking it's very religious. It's just Christian life is hard without the Holy Spirit. Actually, it's impossible. You're just going to get religious and more religious. You're going to be religiouser and more religiouser, you know? And it's like, it's just like, and it's suffocating. And they were like, let's get you guys, get up there, Peter and John. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? People. Now, some of you are like, you know, I am. I've committed. I gave my life to the Lord. We would love to lay hands on you that you may receive the Holy Spirit. You're like, oh, how about if he doesn't come? We'll do it again and again and again. There's nothing more urgent for you to feel the love. Feel it, right? Have snots coming out your nose and cry because you feel so loved. Being in love. And people who've had mucus flowing out of their body, you know, as poruses, they're like, I know, that's just the most beautiful thing. Okay, continuation. Now, that's the initiation. That's the initiation. Everybody needs to be initiated. If you became a Christian, but you've never really felt loved by Jesus, it's urgent because you're just going to become a religious person. And let's not do that, okay? All right? I just want you to feel the love, right? Feel just love, peace, peace. forgiven, right? Now, if you can't feel him, then I'm going to ask you, like, are you committed? Like, are you on your own agenda or are you on Jesus' agenda, right? I hope you can find yourself in that paradigm, right? But then let's say, man, I've committed my life to Jesus. I've experienced the love of Jesus. Like, I know I've had boogers come out of my nose. You know, I've done it all. I know what you're saying. Okay. And then this, the continuation of hosting now. All right. For many of us, this is where we're at. Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. There's the devotion part, folks. Now, it's no mystery. If those elements, because what does it say? And all. How does all come? All only comes, okay, with the Holy Spirit. Okay? All only come. Now, if you've given up on people, if you've given up on fellowship, you know what fellowship is? Commitment. You ever watch Fellowship of the Ring? The Lord of the Rings? Commitment. I'm going to die for you. I'll be there in the toughest of days. That's fellowship. Fellowship of the Rings. If you're loosey-goosey with that, and you're wondering, where's the presence of God that I experienced 10 years ago? That could be it. You're just not that committed to people. The teaching, you know? Like, do you really care what Jesus says? He keeps saying, love one another just as I have loved you. But, you know, it's like, yeah. Are you teaching that to your children? Are you devoted to that? That's the question. And the prayers, right? Breaking bread, we do that every Sunday, right? But there's more than that, isn't there? Right? You know, do you invite people over? Do you hang out with each other at all? Or is it all virtual? You know what I mean? Is it all virtual? That's not devotion, right? In person. Now, if you, okay, we can skip all this and you can try to say, well, I don't have time for any of that. And, you know, it's like, oh, I do two of the three or four, you know. It's the word of God. I'm not going to shout. This is what the word says. Let the Spirit, right? If you have ears to hear, eyes to see, that's what, this is where it is. It says, all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Wonders and signs, right? All because they were devoted to these things. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. He's talking to the Ephesians, by the way. The very Ephesians where he went and laid on hands, right? Baptized them again. Remember Acts 19? Paul's now writing to them. He's saying, be filled with the Spirit. But then what does he say? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Like, get together. Sing. This is not some, like, sing-off, by the way. I love Jesus. How about you? It's like, no, that's not what it is, all right? That's not like, you know, that's not what they're doing. They're just singing together, okay? This is all there is, all right? And making melody to the Lord. And then with giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Praying together. Right? Lifting up thanksgiving. That's what we do. We show up. And we do it together. That's why we have prayer and praise nights sometimes. That's why we start the church with prayer. Like, are you devoted to that? And here's why it says what it says. Here, let me read this. And for everything to God, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, we as a church have decided we're going to do prayer in the morning at 11 o'clock. Now, many of you come up to me and say, that's not seeker friendly. Look, it's lost friendly. It's sinner friendly because we need the Holy Spirit, you know? It might not be, you know, like if you're coming and you just want to be like, oh, you know, like virtual Christians, might not be friendly to them. But the point is, we decided together, didn't we? We decided together. And then, now, there are many initiatives that we talk about at our members meeting, you know, and it's like, you know, they say, well, I'm not feeling it. And a lot of people are like, I don't know if that's Jesus is saying that to you, elders. And then we pull back. We submit to the voice of the people because we also believe that God speaks to the people. And then, you know, but if God is speaking to the elders, and then we all say, okay, let's do this, then, well, look, there's no passive aggressive in the kingdom. You don't have an agenda, okay, that's greater than the agenda of the kingdom. And then you submit? Okay. Now, if you come late, you know, once in a while, you know, you come late, you know, maybe once in a very while, okay? It's still devotion. But if somewhere along the line you're like, forget it, you know, I'm not feeling it, like I'm not devoted. At some point you're like, are we submitting to one another? Out of reverence for Jesus. Devotion, people, devotion. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I exhort you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all say the same thing. Some, you know, that means we agree that this is what there's unity. And there not be divisions among you. If some of you show up and some of you don't show up, you know what that's called in Bible? It's called division. Some of you believe in the home group, some of you don't. It's called division. Silent division. It's division nevertheless. Look, I know it's like, I don't want to drink that Kool-Aid. It's like, we make sure when people are wanting to join the church, it's like, this is Calvary Hill. It's not what other churches do, but this is what Calvary Hill does. And we love it when people don't agree with that. In the sense, we love to pray for people to find a home church. Because you know why? Unity is so important. Because the Bible says it, actually. And there not be divisions among you, and that you be made complete in the same mind and the same purpose. You know what we're after here? I'm after the Holy Spirit coming and saving people, healing people, right? Casting away demons, and just restoring wholeness to people. And so that people could just live a very blessed and happy life. You know what's hard in this world? It's hard to say, like, I want to, because back in those days, it was actually not that hard to follow Jesus in the way that, like, it's not like they had Netflix, you know what I mean? It's hard. May the God of hope, we'll close with this verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Abound. That means, man, that's the Christian life, isn't it? We're like kangaroos, you know? Like one degree of glory to another. You know, it's just like, oh God, just, I love, there's a, you know, when I go, you know, like to pray, there's like this force. It's like, my mind is like, ah. And then I almost have to make myself pull out the prayer mat. I just plop to my knees. I fall to the floor. And it's like, ah, Jesus, I'm here. And Jesus says, oh, welcome. I'm here too. I love. He'll never forsake you. You know, he loves to spend time with you. There's just, it's hard, isn't it? To just get on your knees to make time for Jesus. But he'll be there for you. He'll be there for you. I know sometimes you feel like, oh, I just don't want to, like, you know, this whole, like, this and that. It's like showing up, folks, is 99% of the battle. And then when you show up, though, and this is, I promise you, God will meet us. God will meet us. God will meet us. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, Holy Spirit, my words are so vain and empty. God, without your Spirit saying, okay, this is where you're at, I just pray, Lord, that your Spirit, God, would move to show people with clarity, God, where they're at in their relationship with you, in their personal relationship with you. And so, God, without any fanfare, I pray right now, God, that you would bring them to a place of complete commitment, dying to the self. God, I pray you would fill them with your Holy Spirit right now. Just fall in this place. Oh, sweet Jesus. Just, God, reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' name, amen.